Hello, I am Pastor Greg of the Jordan Assembly of God Church in Jordan, Montana. You are listening to a recorded live Sunday service. I encourage you to visit jordanaog.com and check out our past messages and series. Thank you for joining, and please follow or subscribe to get notified of future messages.
We have been going through 1 Timothy, and we are in part 8, and this time we're going through good doctrine. And so this morning, as we're going into this, I wanted to actually open up in 1 Timothy and in chapter 4, verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you that we can come together. I pray, Father, that we may just have a wonderful, wonderful time going through your word and learning more about you. In your name I pray. Amen. And there's something that's going to be kind of a part of this, but I want you to think about something, and I mentioned this in Sunday school class, so if you were in Sunday school class and you're rehearing this, you're probably going to be hearing it for even way more. Because there has been a walk, a journey that we have, or at least, you know, I have been going on, and that is that straight and narrow way. I don't know if anybody's read that scripture about it being a straight and narrow way. You know, broad is the path that leads to destruction, right? And something that very much was very, very, very cool, and it something that was rolling around in my mind for I don't even know how long, but this morning I woke up and my eyes just kind of was bright, because the one thing that has been really going through my mind is to live in truth, to not just be in truth, but to actually live in truth. And that is something that, I mean, of course it makes sense, right? You know, following after Jesus, you're supposed to live in truth, right? You're supposed to have this life in truth. But there's something about that, that when you finally grasp it, I don't know about, for me, when I finally grasped what that meant, was it was like a light bulb that went off. And I completely understood the fact that if you really want to live in truth, I mean, not just want to live in truth, but that you actually get to the point in your walk with God where you don't want to do anything else but be in truth. You want to live in truth. There's something that I'm going to tell you right now that if you have not challenged yourself with that, I challenge you to do so. If you have not looked at that, I ask that you do so. Because what you're going to find as you walk that road in living in truth, you are going to understand something. And that is that that is not just speaking truth to other people. It's actually talking truth about yourself. That the truth that you are living in is something that is in your heart, and you can't lie to yourself. You can do a lot of things, but you cannot lie to yourself. Well, you could, but you know it's a lie. And one of the things that are major is those people who start believing the lies instead of actually believing the truth, and we're going to be going into that, where you lie to yourself so much that you actually start to believe the lie. But if you allow the truth of the light of Christ into your heart, that the truth of the matter is that we are all sinners. And the truth is that God, not needing us in any way, shape, or form to make himself whole, because God was already whole, but that God chose to love us, who created us, and because of his love for us gave his son to die on the cross so that our sins would no longer separate us from him. He has not changed, but sin had separated. And so, and the truth of the matter is that the flesh has no power over you. I'll say that again. The truth of it is that the flesh has no power over you, for you have the Spirit of truth within you. And the Spirit of truth is leading you into all truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through the Son. And that little saying means even something so much deeper now, that to know Jesus is to know truth, and to know truth, or to know truth is to know Jesus is to know God, and to know God is to love him. So good doctrine. Hopefully I've left that up there enough where you can make notes or find out where we're going to be going. Good doctrine. Doctrine is teaching or instruction. A lot of times we look at the word doctrine and we start thinking about the fact that it is something that is like this major law or obligation. It is good instructions. It is good doctrine. It is good teaching. So when we look at 1 Timothy 4:6, which we started out this morning, we may think that what it's talking about, that if you continue in these words, that if you minister these words, we may be thinking about the fact that it starts in verse 1 of chapter 4, but no, that is incorrect. It's actually the whole thing of the instructions that's been going on and has been given and is being given. And why do we need good doctrine? Why do we need good instruction? And that doctrine and instruction is for us to follow that, for us to be instructed by that. One, as according to this in verse 1 or in verse 6, that we would be ministers of Christ, talking to Timothy, and that we would be nourished. It says you will be satisfied. Nourished. You will be satisfied. That is where your fullness comes from. And I just want to make this little side note. This is not just for pastors. This is not just for ministers. This is for you as well, because if you follow after this, if you are following after instruction and you are living in the instruction, then you as well will find nourishment in the relationship with God. You will find yourself full, satisfied, content in your relationship with God as the more you follow after this. The second one is because in 1 Timothy 4:1 through 5, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, because many are going to actually heed these, they're going to depart from the faith. They're literally departing from the belief that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation, the belief that Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. They're going to either add things into it, or they're going to take away things, or they're going to do things differently. And that means they're heeding, they're listening, and following after deceiving spirits. Here's the thing. they will think they are correct to the point where they will defend their own beliefs and own opinions. They will argue their own beliefs and own opinions. Really, the point is, what's really is, knowing the Bible, that's not faith. Knowing the truth does not mean it is followed or that they even agree that it is truth. My faith is found in Jesus Christ. That's where my faith lies. Right? So, but there's many that know the Bible who don't believe in Jesus. There's many people who go to church who do not have a relationship with God through Jesus, because it is not the where or what you call yourself or what you feel or what your opinions is. It is my relationship with Christ that I find salvation. It is that. And you're thinking, well, they should know the truth, right? That truth is truth, right? Facts are facts. Isn't that the case? So when I was doing some studying over the week, I discovered that and it's not 1950 as of in 1950. I do not know why I put a colon in the middle of that. I have no clue. It's actually the year 1950. Apologize. But in the year 1950, Solomon Asch came up with these tests. And these tests were called conformity experiments. And they were used to investigate how social pressure from a majority group can cause people to actually sway their opinion. And there were, in each group, there were a total of 16 people. 15 of those people were actually told to lie. And only one person didn't know it. On average, a third of them conformed even when they knew it was truth. What they were shown was they were shown basically a page that had one line longer than each line. And they were told in various ways, pick a certain line. It was very clear what is the truth. But 15 out of the 16 people were told, this is the one that's true. And they were told to say that and continue to say that. So they did. And a third, what happened was, and that's looking at as in general, but if you look at them as a whole, or if you look at them as each individual group and judge, 75% of the time, 75% of the time, a person conformed at least once in the testing. 75% of the time, when it was clear what the truth was, but they conformed because of majority group. Only 25% straight across the board did never conformed. Never conformed. That's kind of a scary percentage, isn't it? That if you have, and basically what you have is numbers of the people who change their mind like later on. Right? Okay. But 75% of them on the very, very initial conformed at least once. To know what is true and stand in the face of adversity and stand in the face of other people telling you that something else is true when you know what the truth is apparently very, very difficult. It's not popular. Is it the right thing to do? Yes, it is, but it's not popular. Then you find Jesus. Talk about going against the norm. Talk about going against all the things that people were being taught or what people were doing in a religious way. And here's Jesus, the very Son of God. And he was resisted to the point of death. So truth is truth. Yes, truth is truth. The question, are you willing to actually stand for the truth despite what everybody else is saying, including yourself? Are you willing to live truth? You cannot live in truth without Jesus. Rules, policies, things that physically set us apart, things that are there, that's the truth needs to be within you, not just what you show other people. Have you ever heard that statement? The statement is, say it loud enough, say it long enough, and people will believe. I actually looked that statement up, and the actual statement is, tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and people will believe it. It's a thing. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 11 goes on. If you instruct the brethren these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. The truth is God is good, and he is the only one that can make good, that sanctifies you. Avoid these things. Profane comes from the base word, which means to step or walk, and another word that means over the threshold. And in the context of this word, it basically is talking about profane, which is walking into evil. Do not find yourself walking into evil. And avoid fables, myths, falsehoods. Instead, exercise godliness. Remember godliness in verse 3:16. The godliness, the mystery of the godliness, is that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the word, received up in glory. Isn't it not interesting that the litmus test for our lives, the litmus test of what is true, is our relationship with Jesus? It is not our opinions. It's not what we've been taught. It's not any of those things. It's the fact that my relationship with Jesus is the litmus test. The living in the truth is the litmus test. What am I going by? What am I exercising? What am I putting myself into? Am I getting lost into genealogies, for instance? Am I getting lost into histories? Am I getting lost into those things in my mind? Am I paying more attention to the things that are being said on in the world? Or am I paying attention to godliness, which is a relationship with God through Jesus? Where am I exercising? Where am I going? Because you can get lost into it. You can get lost into information. You can get lost into what people say. You can get lost into those kind of history. And, I mean, it may seem really, really good. And it can be very intriguing to you. But there is something to be said about exercising and maintaining that goal of keeping in godliness. And keeping that relationship and focusing on, this is the reason why, be in your word. This is the reason why, stay in the word of God. This is the reason why, keep up that prayer, keep up that relationship. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. See, I'm not trusting in. They were not trusting in the what was going on, what we needed to do, and all those things. We're trusting in the living God that for my salvation. We're trusting in faith. And that's exactly the definition of faith, is the belief that my life is found in Christ, and if my life is found in Christ, that is where my salvation has come from. Where does my hope come from? My hope comes from the Lord. trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. So bodily exercise, you know, what does that really do? How does, you know, so like bodily exercise profits a little, but godly exercise profits a lot. You're like, well, okay, so how does godliness profit myself? How in the world does my relationship with God profit me in all ways? Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, in my relationship with my friends, in my relationship with God. How does godliness do that? Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How does it help with my friends? It helps with my friends because I've learned to love my friends. I don't know if you know this or not, but you do not. Friendship is just an acquaintance until you've really been through something. Friendship is just an acquaintance until you have been through something. Because when you go through something, and especially if it is something that is between the two of you, a disagreement, because what happens is how you are willing to treat that friend, how you are willing to love that friend in spite of or despite the disagreement, it really tells about the friendship. If you do not care about the friendship, it's whatever. But if you care about the friendship, if you've learned how to love, then how are you going to treat that friend? If you've learned to care for that person, how are you going to treat that friend? How are you going to treat your wife or your husband? How are you going to treat your children? How are you going to treat them if you love them? How does it help you emotionally? Peace. Now, Greg, I don't really feel a whole lot of peace right now. Understand? But peace is not based on the situation that you're going through. Peace is found in the relationship. Peace is putting God first in whatever's going on. Peace is allowing Him to actually walk you through, knowing that He knows what tomorrow brings. Peace is allowing that and trusting that He actually has tomorrow. He actually has everything all under control, and all you have to do is just walk it. Understanding who's in control. And I don't know about you, but I know it's not me. How does that help? So it helps in my relationships. Okay, so how does it help with my body? I'm going to tell you something right now, and I didn't want to hear it, and you're probably not going to want to hear it, because it's not easy for any of us, especially for me. Self-control is something that I need from God, because I kid you not, I need it. And it turns out, I mean, you can exercise till you're blue in the face and it helps a little, but what they have found that helps the most is the fact that the willingness to say no. And you know what I'm talking about. You already know the diet that you are on. You know what diet means, right? It's die with a T at the end of it. No, I'm kidding. But self-control is so very, very important. What does the Bible teach? To be temperate in all things. So And I don't know about you, but I need that. I need that strength. And if you want that strength, learn to live in truth. You got to be willing to be truthful with yourself. You got to be willing to admit, but also you got to be willing to understand that the spirit of truth that is within you is greater as he that is within you than he that is within the world. So understand this, that when you follow after truth, you follow after the most powerful, powerful God in heaven over all things, that has all things in mind for you. And when you declare, I am living in truth, it changes that aspect. Because all things are possible with God. Who? What? Anybody? All things are possible with God who strengthens me, right? All things. All things. It didn't say all but that Snickers bar that's sitting on the counter. Okay? Which may not be a thing for you, but I love Snickers. And I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right? You're like, oh, the Greg, that's silly. Yeah, it's silly, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You replace whatever it is that you're actually battling in your life with the, you know, replace Reese's Peanut Butter Cups with whatever it is that you're walking through right now, whether it be fear, whether it be worry, whether it be stress. Oh, is that the same thing? Yes, it is the same thing. Because God does not give a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That means when I am allowing my mind to be fearful, when I'm allowing my mind to worry or to be concerned, or I'm so up in the air with everything. Who am I listening to? Well, I'm definitely not listening to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is speaking nothing but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, mercy, self-control, long-suffering. It helps in all aspects of our life. Remember that our goal, what we're aiming for, that unity of faith, that we may be knitted together in Christ. That the mystery of godliness, the mystery that was revealed, is Jesus the Christ, the very one who died on the cross and rose again. Looking different and acting different doesn't mean different. Say that again. Looking different and acting different doesn't mean different. Only living in the truth of what God is doing in your heart and in your life, that's where difference really happens. It's when you don't even have to think about doing what the right thing is, because you already want to do the right thing. It's not a thing. It's not even a question. It's not a doubt in your heart or in your mind. You are going to do the right thing. If you have found that you have done the wrong thing, the very instant that you find that out, you want to make it right. You want to go. You want to ask for forgiveness. You want to do that. But looking different and acting different, true difference is found in the character of God that is being developed within you. There's no need to get lost in places of evil. There's no need to concentrate on fables or fake things. Exercise your mind and your life toward truth. Live a life that is in truth. Learn to love truth so much that it automatically comes out of your lips, that you can't even think about telling something that is not true. I'm saying that this is something that I've had to learn, and I'm still walking. Something that is so very, very important, but when you fall in love with it, it is the most amazing thing ever. You cannot have a little bit of lie and think it is okay. You know, I always wondered why, like the little white lies and stuff like that. And I'm just going to confess right now, I'm guilty. Okay, I'm guilty. I'm totally guilty. But I am learning that the more I walk in truth and want to be in truth, I cannot allow those things to actually happen, that I would much rather treat the people around me with the love and the care and the truth that is within rather than lie. Or rather than, you know, the little white things. And I don't know. I always grew up with it, and I never quite understood it when I was a kid, and I didn't quite understand it as an adult, and I kid you not, I still didn't even understand it. But the more I'm walking this, I'm finding out that, you know what, truly, the reason why I wasn't understanding it, because it really doesn't make any sense. The reason why I wasn't understanding is because it doesn't make any sense. Exercise your mind and your life toward truth. In love. It's very important. You can speak truth. You can speak truth. But if you do truth rudely, if you do truth meanly, if you do truth out of anger or bitterness, it's still truth. But boy, does that hurt. Truth and love. Truth and love. And it will not be popular, but it will be right. My encouragement for you, be a part of the 25% that doesn't conform. Or better yet, let's change that percentage. Know what the right thing is. Know what the truth is. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for everything you do and who you are. I pray, Father, that as we go on into the week, Father, that we may just trust in you and allow our relationship in you to grow. I pray, Father, that we may learn to just live in truth and allow our light to shine in the darkness. I thank you, Father, for everything you do and who you are. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Messages will be uploaded and posted to jordanaog.com. Please remember to follow or subscribe for future messages. I hope you have a wonderful day.